Chicago's on a mission, and the stakes are getting higher. Other teams in the majors don't have a prayer against the Friars.
Long ball, small ball, back against the wall. Offense, defense, swinging from the back fence, running down the bases, gonna touch them all.
Watch a swing at the ball.
What is going on, Padre fans? Greetings and welcome to episode 132 of the East Village Times podcast. A little bit of an emergency podcast as AJ Preller has delivered on his holiday season gifts, if you will. They came a little late for us Christians that celebrate Christmas and so, but and such. But the gifts are arriving. First off, Dominic, dude, I mean, you must be pretty stunned for a Monday morning, right? I mean, everything kind of came down late last night, but it just seems to be never ending as far as the potential with this team and who we're acquiring.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was incredible because, I mean, it wasn't like the Darvish ordeal, which is going down right now. This deal just kind of happened. Dennis Lynn, of course, tweeted out right around 8:30 that this trade was going down. I was stunned. I mean, I didn't know what to do. And I obviously wanted to get a podcast recorded with you that night, but unfortunately we couldn't do that. And neither could Bobby for Devils Talking Padres. So glad that we can record this this afternoon.
Well, that actually turned out to be a good thing, right? Cause we wouldn't have been talking about Darvish or Kim if we did this last night. And now we get the opportunity to discuss one deal that's done. Well, two deals, I guess, that are done. Another one that's possibly on the works. Let's first talk about the San Diego Padres have acquired, or reportedly have acquired. I guess it's not official. We haven't heard anything official from either team, correct, Dominic?
Yeah, it's correct.
Okay, so 2018 American League Cy Young Award winner Blake Snell is apparently a San Diego Padre now. As the Padres have traded Luis Patino, right-handed pitcher, catcher Francisco Mejia, young pitcher Cole Wilcox, and a young catcher by the name of Blake Hunt to the Tampa Bay Rays for the services of Mr. Snell. Give me your immediate thoughts. Like, was it just like, let's go when you heard that or what?
Absolutely. And I mean, the first thing you want to point out is that the Padres definitely gave up a lot in this deal.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you're getting the talents of Blake Snell. I mean, 2018 AL Cy Young Award winner, and he was absolutely phenomenal this postseason in the World Series. And I was saying this on my friend's baseball show last night. The Padres starting pitching was awful in the postseason. And of course, they didn't have their two best pitchers, Clevinger or Lamet, to go for that. But I mean, the other guys who seem like they're going to want to make an impact on this Padres team were just awful. I mean, Chris Paddock allowed 6 runs in his one outing. Zach Davies allowed 4+ runs in both of his outings. And then the other games, the Padres had to use an opener, which in one game ended up working out to perfection. And in the other one, the Padres faced the Dodgers, and that was never going to go well. So I think this is a huge get for the Padres. Like I mentioned, Padres gave up a lot. I mean, Luis Patino has been one of the most heralded pitching prospects for the Padres over the past couple of years. Yeah. Francisco Mejia, Padres gave up Brad Hand, who at the time was an all-star closer. And, you know, at that point, the Padres weren't winning. They brought in Mejia. He had a really good last half of the 2019, but outside of that, it's kind of been shaky at the plate. A lot of inconsistencies there, and has never been prolific behind the plate as a catcher. So the Rays, you know, they have a history of turning guys around. They did it with Manuel Margot. They did it with Hunter Renfroe. Maybe they'll be able to do it with Francisco Mejia. And then Cole Wilcox, who I absolutely love. I think that's a great get for the Tampa Bay Rays, but for the Padres, Wilcox is probably 2, maybe 3 years out from making any impact with the Padres, given the fact that he was just drafted this year. So that made sense. And then Blake Hunt, I know you know way more about Blake Hunt than I do, so I'll let you speak on that.
You know, my immediate reaction when I saw that was like, no, not Blake Hunt. It really was. I'm obviously pleased with the deal. You got to give up talent to get down talent. Leave it to the Tampa Bay Rays to pick up Blake Hunt knowing that he is on the verge of breaking out. And I really strongly feel that way. This is a young catcher who's always had the defensive prowess, always been pop times in 1.8, always great defensively, but had issues with the bat. He had some shoulder issues initially when he was drafted, had some timing issues. He's really rectified that. Looked well this spring and summer with the Padres. There's a video of him taking Mason Thompson deep in his last at bat in Arizona. I really, really love Blake Hunt. He's a baseball lifer. He's someone who's going to be in this game far beyond his playing time. You know, I texted him last night. We interacted a little bit. He was pretty shook up, honestly, about the trade. He had the envision of being a Padre for life and, you know, at least making his mark in the major leagues as a Padre. And sometimes trades just blindside young players like this. So he obviously is aware of the opportunity he will have in Tampa Bay and how this might be better for his career, but it's still tough for and I don't want to say local guy, but he is a Southern California guy. And now he's uprooted out east. You know, Tampa Bay's all their minor league systems are out east. It's going to be rough for him, but he's definitely has the mentality to survive this. And I wish Blake Hunt the best. You know, Wilcox is a wild card. I mean, that's a third round talent with a first round talent that was acquired at a third round price. He could break out in Tampa. Mejia has always had the talent. It's just defensively what they can get out of him. Patino is definitely scary to deal in this regard, but you have to give up talent to get talent. I mean, Blake Snell is under control for a few seasons. It's not like this is just a 1 year rental. This is a 27-year-old, 28-year-old pitcher who's going to be effective for this team for quite a few years, hopefully, right?
Right. No, he's under contract for the next 3 years, and it's an average of just over $10 million a year.
Yeah, so it was a great deal.
Very team-friendly deal for the Padres, and that's what we've noticed from just about all of the moves that Padres have made.
Yeah,
the moves where they gave up a ton of prospects for, like the move for Mike Clevinger, which of course isn't going to pan out like how we wanted it to, and the Austin Nola trade. They got guys that are going to be a part of the Padres for the next couple of years.
Yes.
They're under team control. And Blake Snell is certainly no different. And Yu Darvish would be the same way if the Padres do end up finishing that deal, which we still do not know as of 1:45 Pacific time as we are recording this. We must clarify that.
We'll get into that a little later. Maybe it'll be finished by the time we get to it. But let's talk a little bit more about Snell. Let's play devil's advocate, since we're fresh off the Clevinger deal, and we all know how that is looking currently. Snell has never pitched over 200 innings. He's had elbow injuries. He's had injuries with his feet and his toe and little nagging things here and there. You know, I'm not trying to poo-poo this. I'm not trying to make any Padre fans mad, but I mean, he's a pitcher, and there's risk involved with this, and it's scary. You have to imagine that the Padres did their due diligence in making sure that he is healthy, sound health-wise. I don't know. Give me your thoughts on that. Give me your thoughts on the fact that Snell has not been able to throw 200 innings, although that doesn't seem to be much of a factor these days. That most pitchers usually aren't going 200 innings. Is that more of just Tampa Bay kind of babying him as we saw in the playoffs?
I think it's kind of them babying him. I think it was Tampa Bay doing what they thought was best to win those games. Okay. Tampa Bay prioritizes using their bullpen guys and changing up looks and not having you go multiple times through the starting order to try and have batters face different guys. It worked a lot of the times. I mean, Tampa Bay has been one of the most winningest teams over the past decade, past couple of years. Of course, it backfired in game 6 of the World Series and everyone just collapses and just gives them all of that. But I mean, it's a strategy they've used for such a long time, and it's worked. And in 2018, you know, you mentioned that Blake Snell hasn't gone 200 innings. He started 31 games that year.
Yeah.
He only went 180 innings that season. So, I mean, that's just over, or it's just under six innings per game. I'd imagine Jace Tingler doesn't want to do that. I imagine he gets him to, if Blake Snell can make 30 starts, he's going to have 200 innings.
I mean, he's a high strikeout pitcher, so he's going to rack up the pitch totals in game. They're going to have to allow him to go 100, 120 pitches if they really want to maximize his ace potential, I guess you could say.
100%. And we know the Padres still do have a very solid bullpen returning for the 2020 season. So even if he does only go five, six innings, Padres can still hand the ball off there and be fine. But I mean, one thing I'm looking at is in 2018, which was his best year, his Cy Young Awards season, he had 11 strikeouts for nine innings and he was able to go 180 innings that year. And then in 2019, he struck out 12.4 batters per nine inning and he had a 4.29 ERA that year. So like, I'm noticing that the strikeout total per nine innings then went down again in 2020 and he had a very solid year then again. So if Blake Snell relies a little bit less on the strikeouts, while still, you know, that's his MO, getting strikeouts, but not relying on it, he can be at his best. Cause I mean, he still had a 104 ERA plus in 2019. He was still above average, but that was the year he was striking out the most batters. So if he can be right around that 11 strikeout per nine inning mark, that's where his best two seasons have been. And I think that's certainly a reachable mark with the San Diego Padres.
Yeah. I mean, we all know how dominant he looked against the Dodgers in the World Series. You know, it's fun. It's fun for the Padres. It makes the loss of Clevinger seem kind of like just a distant memory. It makes this team relevant again. And it's exciting to be a Padre fan. And I think that's what AJ Preller has focused on in his tenure as a GM, is to make moves and make things interesting and create this excitement and this buzz in America's Finest City and those that are Padre fans outside the city. I mean, it's never been a better time to be a Padre fan than there is right now. And that's definitely kudos to AJ Preller and ownership for sure.
Oh, 100%. And I mean, it's been miserable for the first 18 years of my life, but I mean, now we're in year 19, year 20, and it's getting a lot better. And I mean, I know that you've said this several times. I mean, it just absolutely sucked for a long time. Yes. It's finally turning around now and it's awesome. I mean, the Padres, I don't want to say they're taking the attention away from the NFL, but the Padres are keeping baseball relevant. Them and Trevor Bauer, they're keeping baseball relevant in the offseason. Because, I mean, last offseason, there are guys like Gerrit Cole, Anthony Rendon, that just got huge deals. And, I mean, the offseason before, it was Manny Machado and Bryce Harper. This year, there's not really that guy that's like, that he's been really good for several years. I mean, Trevor Bauer is going to get a hefty contract, but it's not to the extent of those guys. No. So, the Padres, you know, I mean, there was that Lance Lynn trade earlier this offseason, but that was for one prospect. Lance Lynn's on a one-year contract. So the Padres, they're going out. They're trying to make the team better. They know that, hey, who knows where we're going to be in 5 years? Who knows where the Dodgers are going to be in 5 years? We have a chance to go out and possibly win a championship these next 2 to 3 years. Let's go do it. And I couldn't be any more on board.
Yeah, and I think that's the most exciting thing about this tenure and this time at being a Padre fan, is that they actually have a future. This isn't just a one-year deal like the 98 team was and kind of how the 84 team turned out to be. There's a plan, and there should be competitive baseball from this team for the next decade, and that's remarkable when you think about the past of this franchise. And the fact that they just have not been relevant. They've been a disgrace to baseball off and on for 50 years. And now we, as fans of the game and fans of the team, can see the future and are excited. I mean, we can talk about playoff baseball in San Diego and the potential of that. And that's amazing. I mean, the World Series odds were just updated, I guess, in Vegas, and the Padres are second highest favored team to win the World Series. I mean, when the hell has that ever happened? I mean, it hasn't. And kudos again to ownership and to Preller for finally getting it, that you need to spend money to make money and you need to put your best foot forward in order to win a fan base. And create that loyalty, and the Padre fans are rallying around that, and it's certainly an exciting time. Take us into the reports of Ha Sung Kim. We're going to butcher his name, I know, but I think that's it, right? Ha Sung Kim?
Ha Sung Kim, yes.
Ha Sung Kim, okay. Korean baseball powerhouse who's apparently signed with San Diego. So give us the details on that, and then we'll talk a little bit about what's to be expected of this 27-year-old infielder.
So the financial details are unknown as of now, but John Heyman did tweet out that it is around a 4-year deal for Kim. And I'd imagine it's going to be around $6 to $7 million. Dennis Lynn first reported it at around 11 o'clock that the Padres reached an agreement with him. He didn't give any details. Of course, he just acknowledged that it happened. He, along with Joel Sherman and others, reported that there was growing interest this morning. And there had been reports throughout the week that things were heating up with Kim in terms of finally posting over to America. And of course, the Padres came in and they did that. Kim had his best year in the KBO this past year. He hit .306 along with a .397 OBP and a .523 slugging percentage, which is a .921 OPS. And it's not like this is just an outlier year. In 2017, he had a .302 average with a .376 OBP and a .513 slugging. So obviously that 2020 season was a little bit better. In 2019, he had a .389 OBP.
Yeah, I mean, the numbers have been fairly consistent. I mean, when you look at batting average, when you look at on-base percentage, you know, I had mentioned he's 27. He's actually 25. I keep aging him for some reason. In my tweet, I did that, and I just did it again. But this is a 25-year-old. This is still a player who's developing, who put up those numbers last season that you spoke of as a 24-year-old. So there's still room for growth. I think the most important thing you see out of him is the fact that he takes walks. He gets on base. His on-base percentage is at .373 lifetime right now through 7 seasons. And that's in over 3,100 at-bats, almost 3,200 at-bats. I mean, he will take walks. He generally puts the ball in play. There's power there. There's speed there. You know, again, this is against Korean pitching, so it's you got to take it with a grain of salt. You can't expect him to hit .320 and slug over .500 in the major leagues. Although it is still a possibility, because there are players that can adjust and can perform at this level. I mean, look at Ichiro Suzuki and what he did. A lot of people initially thought when he came over to the States, he wouldn't be able to put up anywhere near what he did in Japan. And he actually did, if not better. So at 25, it's still young. He's still young enough to have a uncertainty about him. Now let's talk about Dominic, the fact that he is an infielder and the Padres infield is crowded right now. So where is Kim going to play? I mean, with the talent that he's showing, it's hard to imagine them using him as a super utility or as a platoon player. So he should get at-bats. He should get a lion's share of at-bats. So where do you see that coming? I mean, it's not going to come in third. It's not going to come in short.
It's probably going to ultimately come at second base or first base in some sort of regard. And, I mean, he's a right-handed hitter. That is important to note, because the two guys on the left side of our infield, Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis Jr., are also right-handed hitters. But the two guys on the left side, or on the right side of the infield, are Jake Cronenworth and Eric Hosmer, who are both left-handed hitters. And none of them hit lefties nearly as well as they did right-handed pitching this past season. So he could possibly platoon with those guys, give them off days. And we all remember Jake Cronenworth played a fantastic first base defensively when Eric Hosmer was absent earlier on in the season. So it's not that he could just play first. They could put him at second base, and Cronenworth can play some first base as well. It remains to be unclear who's going to be in that Darvish trade. We've seen Cronenworth's name thrown around a lot on Twitter. Yeah. That would probably make some sense. Would be kind of odd to trade away Cronenworth. I mean, he did have a fantastic August, won the August Rookie of the Month in the National League, but in September, his numbers dwindled significantly, ended up with a .285 batting average, .354 OBP, and a .128 OPS plus, and finished second in Rookie of the Year voting. So it'd be kind of odd to move on from Cronenworth after 1 year. But the Padres, like I said, probably going to spend around $6 to $7 million per year on Kim.
Yeah.
You don't just want to have him be on the bench a lot. And there are also there's also the possibility that Cronenworth can play outfield, as I believe Joel Sherman or John Heyman reported today. And then Kevin Acey came out and said he's not going to play outfield, which makes sense to me because I haven't looked into it for Cronenworth, but I mean, he played shortstop at Michigan. I don't know if he played any outfield, and that just doesn't make a ton of sense because for the moment right now, like I said, everything's kind of up in the air with where the Padres roster stands because trades could be going down, but the outfield seems to be Pham, Grisham, and Myers in the outfield. So there's not really an opening spot there.
We can't really speculate on the outfield. Let's not go that route. Let's stick on the infield. Cronenworth has played the outfield. He's played outfield at Michigan. He played outfield in the lower minors with Tampa Bay. I'm sure he can play the outfield if that comes in the works for the Padres. I don't know where Kevin Acey comes off saying that he's not going to play the outfield, because unless he's speaking directly to AJ Preller and Jace Tingler, there's no way of actually knowing that, because you don't know who they're trading, who they're rearranging, who they're acquiring. Now let's talk about Cronenworth. Cronenworth is going to be 27 later on next month. He's actually 2 years older, or a little under 2 years older than Kim. So if you're the Padres, do you look at Cronenworth, who came out of nowhere to have a magical type rookie year, as someone that you sell high on? Or do you think that his numbers are going to improve as he ages and gets in his older 20s and younger 30s and becomes a major league player? Well, we've already seen Preller move on from Framil Reyes, a young superstar, supposedly a young player with a ton of upside. I don't think there's any issue with him dealing Jake Cronenworth. So let's just get that out there. If the right deal comes along, they will move Cronenworth because they have options at second base, whether it's Kim, whether it's Mateo, whether it's Abrams down the line. There's plenty of options at second base. Second base is a position where you should not give $200 million like Seattle did to Cano back in the day. I mean, that's a position that can be easily filled any time of the week, quite honestly. So Cronenworth to the Cubs, it may make sense, although they already have Hap, they already have other guys in the infield who are kind of in the same mold. I really don't know. It's really tough to predict what AJ Preller is doing. I mean, he could have Cronenworth shipped off to Texas for Joey Gallo, for all we know. I mean, that's not a rumor. That's not anything I've heard. I'm not starting anything about that. I'm just saying that he tends to move in giant clusters of trades. And we saw one already. There's another one rumored. There's the acquisition of Kim. I wouldn't be surprised if he has another one or two deals, maybe on a lesser degree, worked out as well. So I don't know. Give me your thoughts on Cronenworth. Is it time to possibly sell high on him? I know a lot of fans loved what they saw from him, and rightfully so. I mean, he looked amazing in his first showing in a Padre uniform.
I mean, it certainly could be. And important to note for the Cubs, Ian Happ, he primarily played center field last year, and he actually didn't play a single inning at second base. Now, second base is where he primarily played prior to that, but that is an important thing to note.
Yeah.
As for Jake Cronenworth, like I mentioned, he early on in the year when he was hitting the ball really well, he hit really well against lefties. That went away in the second half of the year. He hit 218 against lefties in 55 at bats. So I mean, that's not a small sample size. I think this is probably the guy you're getting against lefties. The 295 OBP, which is a solid difference, especially for a second baseman against a lefty, but a 255 slugging percentage. So, I mean, basically all singles at that point. But against righties, 316 batting average, 382 OBP, 581 slugging. So, I mean, if they wanted to move on from him, like, I'd get it. And because, I mean, Kim seems like a solid player. But, I mean, you have that sure thing with Cronenworth. Obviously, Kim's on the roster now, so what are you going to do about that? But if Cronenworth wasn't a deal for Yu Darvish, I'd be fine with that because they don't have that second baseman right now. They played Jason Kipnis at second base last year. He didn't really do all that much for them. So that could be something that they prioritize because the Padres certainly aren't going to give up CJ Abrams, who's a couple of years away.
Yeah.
In my opinion, he was the second best prospect in the system before Patino was traded. And now, of course, he's, I think, solely in that second spot with no competition from Patino. So
Abrams looked amazing in his first taste of professional baseball. I mean, he missed all of last season, but he made it all the way to low A in his first month. So, you know, it's conceivable that he could have made it to double A last season and could have been knocking on the door with a more productive year. So it's tough to put all your chips in Cronenworth and think that he's the future and see him dwindle slowly and the value slowly decrease when now he has value and you could get top dollar for him. So let's speculate on a Darvish package and what it would possibly look like. I think Cronenworth is a big name that could be issued in there. Is Morahone in play? Is Weathers in play? What do you think?
I think that one of those two guys will probably be in this deal. And I don't know which way they could go with that. But I mean, one of those two guys is certainly a power arm that they'd be picking up with control for the next 5 to 6 years. I'm not entirely sure how their service time. I know Weathers would be 6 years of control. Morahone might be five, depending on how much he played this year. And another player they could possibly be getting is Joey Lucchese. I mean, he doesn't have a role at all with the San Diego Padres anymore. Got sent down after a couple of starts last year to the summer camp taxi squad down at USD. And another player that's been thrown around is Luis Campusano, because there have been rumors that Victor Caratini could be coming with Darvish, because Caratini was Darvish's catcher with him while he was in Chicago. So, I mean, that would make sense, certainly, for the Padres to bring him in. And, of course, the Padres would send back a catcher in return to help back up Wilson Contreras, one of the best catchers in all baseball. I don't think it would require that much more than, say, Cronenworth, a pitcher, and then maybe another catcher like Campusano. Because Darvish, great player, 3 years left on his contract, team-friendly, but the Cubs have come out this offseason and said they want to shed payroll, they want to rebuild. And when they do that, they lose some leverage because they are the ones initiating the trade. They're saying, hey, come talk to us. We want to do this. It's not we're listening. It's we want to do this. Yeah. And I mean, that's a great return if you're the Cubs, because, I mean, all of a sudden now you're getting guys that are controllable for longer than what Yu Darvish was. And yes. Yu Darvish, he's not a young pitcher. In my opinion, he's been the best starting pitcher in the National League since the All-Star break last year. Second best pitcher in all of baseball since the All-Star break last year, only behind Shane Bieber, who was the unanimous American League Cy Young Award winner. It would make sense to go out and get Yu Darvish if I'm a Padres fan. I don't see any downsides to this. He's been extremely durable. He's pitched over 175 innings in 4 seasons, including a couple of times since he had Tommy John surgery back in 2015. So I'm a big Yu Darvish believer. I believe that those woes that we saw in the 2017 postseason, one, were partly because the Astros were cheating against him and they had seen him several times, given that they were in the same division as Darvish. And then his 2018 season and first half of 2019 season, he's rebounded. He's put together 150 innings worth of very solid pitching since then. And to me, it's not showing in just a 2020 fluke year. He put together almost a full season of just being an absolute stud and showing that pitch arsenal that is absolutely elite that we saw when he was young with Texas and part of the reason why they were so dominant.
Yeah. At 34, there's a little bit of concern with the age, but he's been able to be effective. And he's 2020 was a great season for him. I mean, he had an ERA of 2.01, struck out, was 11 batters for 9 innings. He's always been a high strikeout pitcher, always gone deep into games. I think this is a good acquisition for the team, not necessarily as someone that you want to call your ace. I mean, if they have Snell in front of them, they have a 1-2 punch now. And then you factor in Lamet. I mean, it's pretty remarkable. Now, with the acquisition of both pitchers, Snell and Darvish. Does that officially take the Padres out of the market for Trevor Bauer? Is that your feelings now? Is that your gut feeling now?
Yes. And the Padres at that point, starting pitching would no longer be a need, in my opinion, because at that point, then you've got Snell, you've got Darvish, and then you might have Lamet, where we're still unclear about what that is. I mean, Preller said he's going to be fine, but I do take Preller's word about pitcher's health with a grain of caution. Paddock, I mean, we'll see. He was very good in 2019, and he was a pretty solid pitcher in the first half of 2020, and then he was pretty inconsistent and just not very good in the second half of 2020, including that awful postseason start against the Cardinals. And then you also have Zach Davies at the moment. He's only under contract for 2021, and you have a ton of starting pitching still in the balance. Well, we'll see who the Padres would give up if this Darvish trade, and keywords if, it still has not gone down. It's now 210, so we still don't know. But at that point, one payroll has been increased by around $30 million at this point, and that's about where the Padres have said they want to go up in payroll. And then starting pitching is not exactly a need.
No. We'll have to see where he goes next. There's got to be some improvement with the relief corps, you would think. There's got to be some maybe utility-type guys that are brought in to replace the Greg Garcia. And then we'll have to wait to see what happens with the DH, because I think that will be huge in what the Padres do next. If the DH is in play in the National League, expect A.J. Preller to go out and acquire a perennial all-star type player to rotate in there at DH. I mean, that just seems to be the mantra right now. And the fact that this team still has a deep farm system and still can pull the trigger and trade a Ryan Weathers, a Luis Camposano, players that have a decent amount of value and should provide a pretty good return are still within the Padres system. And I don't know. Again, we talked about this on the last podcast. The team is built to win. It's going to come down to evaluation at this point. It's going to come down to evaluation, self-evaluation, evaluation of your own prospects when it comes to Myers. I mean, when it comes to Morahone, Weathers, Gore, Baez, pitchers like that, you need to be able to evaluate which ones to move on from. Obviously, Patino was someone that they felt they could move on from, someone who they felt didn't necessarily have the upside as the other pitchers. So you have to make those self-evaluations in order to succeed. You have to bring in veteran pitchers who are going to perform. You can't trade for players that are going to get injured like Clevinger. I mean, that's just unfortunate that happened. But the next several moves need to be in a positive direction for this franchise to ultimately succeed in their goal, because you just can't deal prospects and get nothing in return. So Blake Snell is an awesome acquisition. I can't wait to see him in a Padre uniform and towing the rubber for the Padres. It's a good time to be a Padre fan for sure.
What absolutely is. And someone just tweeted that Jesse Rogers, ESPN, this isn't anything official. He said on ESPN that it's going to be Yu Darvish and Caratini for probably Zach Davies, another Major League Baseball player from the Padres, and a couple of 18 and 19-year-old slugger types. So I don't know what that imposes.
Wait, 18 to 19-year-old slugger types. Are we talking Josh Mears?
Could be Josh Mears, could be Hudson Head, could be someone of that type. Not exactly sure. Like I said, nothing's been announced as of the moment. It's now 2:15 Pacific time.
Those when there's smoke, there's fire. So you kind of figure. So he said Davies, other major leaguer. What is that? Another major leaguer? Is that
so? That could be someone like Cronenworth. Yeah. Some guy that, you know, is young and controllable for them. So that's what I'm thinking in that aspect.
I don't know. You know, I really like what Davies brings to the rotation, being that he's that change of pace pitcher. You know, if you have Snell, Lamet, Paddock, Gore, Darvish, I mean, you all have mid-90s type pitchers, so I don't know. I kind of like Davies thrown in there in the middle. we'll have to wait and see. We'll just have to wait and see it. And then for the Cubs, they really want Davies and Hendricks in the same rotation. I mean, that seems kind of redundant, but what I mean, I don't know. I'm not trying to defend what the Cubs are doing or try to make sense of what they're doing. But it appears that we're close. It appears that the San Diego Padres are close to acquiring Yu Darvish. Several outlets have reported it. It's just a matter of dotting the I's and crossing the T's, right, Dominic?
Yep. And Jesse Rogers just said on ESPN that one player he would almost guarantee to go in that trade is Zach Davies. So starting to piece the puzzle a bit, Cronenworth seems like a guy who could be in that deal along with Zach Davies and someone else. So we'll see. And we'll talk about this at some point else, yeah, possibly during the week once things get finalized.
Yeah, it sounds like they're making progress. And 18, 19-year-old sluggers, that leads me to think it's Josh Mears. It really does. And that's kind of troubling. I mean, you can't prospect hoard. So I really like the upside on Mears. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do. To me, it sounds like Mears is in the deal. That makes sense, being that he's a top 10 type prospect for the Padres. Because return of Davies and maybe Cronenworth just doesn't seem like enough to me if I was a Cubs. No. But we'll have to wait and see. Exciting times for the Padres. That's for certain, man. I don't know. Anything else we should cover before we get out of here? Just an exciting Monday morning for Padre fans. That's for sure.
No, I think we covered it all. And there were some people flying around saying Will Myers could get traded on Twitter. I think that's smoke. I don't think that's anything. I mean, Will Myers, the whole point of this trade for the Cubs is to shed payroll, and they do not gain that by trading for Will Myers. So that also, that just doesn't make any sense, especially when their outfield is already
Andy Green. That's all I have to say. Andy Green is on the Cubs. There is no way in hell that they are trading for Will Myers.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
and like you said, they're trying to shed payroll. They're not about to chase their tail and acquire basically the same amount of money. But then, like, you know, I mentioned Preller's a madman. He could have Myers going in a separate deal somewhere else where no one's even suspected anything or even knows anything about it, and it could be even a bigger deal than these other two. That's just the way he works. We'll have to wait and see. But as of now, the San Diego Padres have acquired Ian Snell and signed a KBO superstar by the name of Ha Sung Kim, young infielder with tremendous power. I mean, have you seen the videos of Kim hitting home runs and bat flipping and stuff?
They're gorgeous.
Yeah, it's going to be the Padres are going to hurt some feelings next year. They're definitely going to hurt some feelings. I think we're good to go. I'm just wondering if that Darvish deal is going to happen and whether or not we're going to have to jump back on here and podcast again really quick. But we'll have to just leave it at this. Thank you, folks, for joining us. This is episode number 132 of the East Village Times podcast with a little bit of emergency broadcast. We are pleased to provide any information and all information that we can in regards to the San Diego Padres. This has been an exciting offseason so far. I mentioned that some stuff was going to happen, and it definitely has happened. It's exciting, right? I mean, how else can you explain this, right, Dominic?
No, exciting is definitely a word. Anxious would also be another one. You know, you just kind of want the names to get thrown out.
Seriously. Yeah, I think we're all kind of in the uncertainty of it all, right? I mean, just wondering who's next. Where are we going to go next? All right, folks. Well, we're out of here. Thank you so much for joining us. I am James Clark. You can follow me at @EVT_JClark. My co-host here is Mr. Dominic Stern. You can follow him at DMStern19. We are the East Village Times podcast. Go Padres.